Couple Sundays ago, you will remember that during the prayer time, invited Reg to stand as he was going to be heading out to Redding, California, heading down to a Brave Cove men's conference. And Reg went down there that week and had an opportunity to sit under that teaching and came back again. He showed up about 4 hours before service last Sunday for the graduation of Emily. So he had gone for, I don't know, 36 or something hours with only about 2 hours sleep. So he can't remember anything he said last week, but it was good. It was good. Whatever you said was powerful. But when Reg came back again, and I told him even before he left, I said, just be prepared when you come back. I would like you to share what God laid on your heart at the conference, what it was about. And so this morning, Reg is going to do that, and just excited to hear what you have to say. The little bit you shared with me before was powerful, so looking forward to this morning.
Well, good morning, everybody. Oh, you guys are interactive. This is great. Everybody's awake. I'm awake this time, so I can see people today. I'm understanding what's going on, and I am ready for what God has for us this morning. So let's open in a word of prayer before we even get going. Father God, we just want to thank you so much for your presence here, God. I can feel it powerfully right now. I know this message right now is going to be about my experience and experiences for men, Father, but there is something that you have for each and every one of us. I'm going to be learning. Everybody here is going to be learning. We're ready to receive. We command the spirit of distraction to be gone in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for all the young people that are here. Father, for the noise that we can hear, for the kids that are just going to be blessed in this message as well. Father, just take the words that I have and turn them exactly the way you want each one of us to hear. So in your precious name, Father, we thank you. Amen. So for people that don't know who I am, my name is Reg. Chetney, you see us up here in various numbers at different times of the week. As you can see, I am here by myself, but I'm not alone. And that is one of the things that I learned this weekend, or that past weekend, sorry, is that I am never alone. We as men sometimes get into our mindset that we have to do this, and we're on it, in it on our own. And that is such a lie from the pit of hell. We're never alone. We have Jesus inside of us. So I'm alone here physically, and all my family is up at the cabin. So Jerrica got her wisdom teeth out on Thursday. Friday, she looked like a chipmunk, and she's already up at the cabin enjoying. So that's just a testament to God's goodness in everything. He takes every little thing that we have and turns it for good. So she's up there relaxing. They got to watch a Canada Day parade in the little community where it's at. They got to experience fireworks and all that other stuff, and I'm so thankful that they are up there and enjoying God's beauty in the rain up there. And we get to experience God's beauty here this morning. So I have been married, it'll be 22 years on the 14th of July, and I haven't done things exactly well as being a husband, but God always changes things for good. He takes what the enemy designed for evil and turns it for good. So July 14th, it'll be 22 years, I can't believe it, but Hannah will be 20 here this summer. Emily's 18 and they're graduated. So I have two out of the house. Well, not out of the house yet. They're actually moving into their own place here this summer. Hannah and Emily and one of their friends is moving up to Ardrossan, and they're both going to be working. And I am so excited for what God has in store for them. So it's going to be for once in my married life and kid life, there's going to be more males in the house than females. So pray for Suzanne and Jerrica. It's an exciting time to be a dad. It's an exciting time to be a husband. And it's an exciting time to be in Canada right now. The wokeness and everything. God put us here, each individual, one of us, for this time. It's not a mistake that you were born. It's not a mistake that we're in Canada. It's not a mistake that we're in Camrose right now. None of this was a mistake. God had predestined it before, and each one of us has a unique set of skills that only we can do for this country, for ourselves, for our families. So don't ever think that you're just a person here filling a seat. You have a designed purpose here, and God wants to honor that. And I don't remember who said it, but it was in one of the conferences that I've listened to or been to, is that God adds his super to our natural. So when we're doing our thing and we're doing it in his will and his purpose, he adds his super to our natural. So you just watch things explode when we start getting into there. But anyways, enough of that. Yeah, we're going to watch a quick little video about Braveco. So I went to a conference down in Redding, California. I drove down there because God told me to do that. And I'm really thankful that he did that for me. I like driving. It's never bothered me. So it was a great time to get prepared because I was super nervous to go down there. It seems like I'm a confident, strong man, but I was really nervous and scared to go down there because I knew in my heart that this was a time for change. This was a time that I am done with the stuff from my past. I'm done with what I was, and I'm ready to move forward. But I didn't know what God was going to do in me, and I was nervous. I didn't know what to expect. I've never been to Bethel, never been to Northern California. Haven't driven that far on my own, and knowing that I had a tight timeline. I was praying over my vehicle as we were going, and it was a 22-hour drive, but it felt like about three. The longest drive was coming home in between High River and home. It was really tough to stay awake, and I drove through an incredible storm as well down there. But God was faithful in all of that. It gave me time to decompress. It gave me time to just sit there in his presence, listening to some podcasts, listening to worship music. It was a great time. But anyways, so I went to Braveco. Yeah, let's just watch that thing right now. There's about a minute and a half video. And it's Jason Valatin speaking. So that was Chris and Jason Valatin. If anybody's familiar with Chris, he is Jason is a counselor, and he comes from quite the background. He was born into Redding, into Bethel, basically as a kid. It was the crazy thing was is we I got there at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and I was dogged. And so I got to the hotel, checked in, and just laid on the bed. And God is like, check your email. So I checked my email. I don't know why I never checked my email. And here it was, there was an introduction into what Braveco was. So I ended up heading back, getting registered. And then we met, there was about 600, 650 men there all together. We were put into teams. There was 14 teams. I was fluorescent yellow team. It was quite the thing because it was actually green. So I don't know who was colorblind in that, but anyways, so we met there before. And the first thing, Jeremy Gonzalez is his name. He's a ministry leader there, a short little Mexican guy. And he goes, I'm not one for fluff, so let's get right down to it. That was the introduction. And I'm sitting there, and I don't know anybody. I'm the only Canuck there. People have been in this stuff before. I haven't been. I mean, I've been to Promise Keepers and stuff, but this was on a whole different level. This was an individual thing. And he goes, I'm going to tell you straight up, my wife left me out of the blue 5 years ago. I had two girls, 10, 8, and a boy that was 6. And he goes, it's hard. Every day is a battle. And this is a guy that's on the ministry team. And he's sharing how his wife left, how he didn't understand what it was to be a dad. He didn't understand when his daughters hit their period what was going to happen. And he had to lean on his church family. He had to lean on some of the women to teach his girls how to be girls too. And that was something for him, because he looks like he was a gangbanger. I don't know if he was, but he sure did look like it. He kind of was intimidating, this tiny little Mexican. But what a kind spirit. He goes, there's no fluff, there's no hype. If you fall on the floor and start laughing, that's great, but that's not what we're here for. We're here for change. And right off the bat, he goes, each one of us has the same giftings as the Chris Vallotins, the Kenneth Copelands. We have the same authority. He goes, so we're going to be praying for each other. So don't think that I have to come and pray for you. Don't think that Bill Johnson has to come and pray for you. You have the exact same spirit. So that's what it was. It was us empowering each other. So that was about an hour, and in that first meeting, right off the bat, he goes, we need to be vulnerable, because men, we put up walls, we need to be vulnerable. So we each got a piece of tape, and I was like, oh Jesus, no, you're not doing this already. I can't even wake up yet. I'm like, really? I know exactly what you're doing here, and I don't want to do it. And he goes, I know you don't. But you're gonna. So what we did is we took this piece of tape, and he goes, we're gonna spend some time in prayer, and I want you to put on your chest. And this was the stickiest tape I have ever seen in my entire life. We're gonna write on there what we're carrying and that God wants us to give up. Right here, right on our chest, for everybody to see. I didn't know anybody there, so what does it matter? What does it matter what I'm going to write? They're not going to remember me in a week or a day or 2 days. But I really struggled with being that vulnerable in that group of men. So what did I do? I sat there. I looked over to the guy next to me. He writes on there, porn. Big letters right across his chest. Next guy over there, infidelity. The next guy, shame. The next guy, pain. So I said, okay, Lord, what am I writing? Shame and fear, right in big letters all the way across my chest. Shame and fear. Not an ounce of condemnation in anybody's face. We looked at each other's and we just, yeah. We've all been there, everything. There was a guy a couple years older than me. Shared the first night. Then we were able to share if we wanted to, and I didn't share. But this guy stands up. He was a buff dude, like big, huge muscles. And he goes, you know what? Last year, I sold my company. I made a ton of money, my wife and I. 1 year ago, almost exactly. And he goes, now I'm in debt for more money than I sold it for. I'm losing my marriage. I'm losing this, I'm losing that. And he goes on and on and on. And he broke down, this big, huge, giant of a man. And he was ministered to, right there. A bunch of guys surrounded him, picked him up. Hugs and tears, that's what it was. I didn't know I was going to that kind of conference. But that's what I was there for, to be vulnerable. So I don't know if any of you know my story. Suzanne and I have been married, like I said, for 22 years. I'd been addicted to pornography for most of my adult life and all of my adolescence. I had a lot of shame with that and stigma of my own making in that. That's what I went there for, was to get rid of that shame and that fear of what people thought of me. And as guys shared, I wept. I didn't know what else to do. That's all I could do. Just being open and vulnerable there, and it was just men, which is, it's a strange thing to be in the presence of just people that know exactly the battles that we go through daily. The whole worship teams were all men. Basically, everybody there was men. There was a few ladies because we need help with organization sometimes. But 99.5% was all men there. And worship, I'm not a big worshiper, like I watched Duncan and I watched some of you other guys that are up there worshiping, but there was just such a freedom there. Guys were dancing, guys were just right up at the front praising the Lord. I stood back and go, Lord, worship, is it like praise and worship is something that's okay? I just don't get it right now. But just let me sit in this and be ministered to in the way that I need to. And speaker after speaker goes, this is not hype. This is change. This is not hype. This is change. We're here for change, not for hype. So that was part of it. The first night was Wednesday night, and it was Jason Valentin, the guy up there. The younger guy, Chris, is his dad. I think he was a little overwhelmed. He wasn't the best speaker that I've ever heard. And I mean, well, cripes, he's got his dad who's been doing this for 40 years. He's got John Bevere was there, and another guy, his name was, Hendricks is his last name. I don't know why I cannot remember his name. Greg Hendricks. But Greg Hendricks, I'll get to him in a minute. But Jason spoke from his heart, and that's what came through. He was raised in the ministry, and talk about being vulnerable. He's up front, and he goes, when I was 12 years old, I had my first homosexual encounter. And here's a guy that's the son of a minister in a major church. And this is the first thing he said. And then I got addicted to pornography and how it took him down. And then, but my dad was there with me the whole time. My dad loved me through this. He goes, I was completely healed of pornography, of homosexuality, of shame, of fear. And here he is standing up in front of a bunch of guys. And you can just look around and you can just see just the vulnerability, and everybody melted after that. That broke the ice. And one of the biggest things that I took away from that first one was the vulnerability. But one of the things that he said, and he was talking about the when the Israelites came out of Egypt, he goes, that 40 years wasn't when they were disobedient and stuff. It wasn't that they needed to. It was only about a 12-day journey. But God had to get Egypt out of the Israelites so that they could be free and not slaves in the promised land. So sometimes our stuff takes us a little bit, but that's God getting the Egypt out of us. That was one of the biggest things. And he also said this other thing. He goes, I see on social media and all this other stuff about the big victim mentality. And he goes, being the victim is being in jail with the key and blaming everyone else for not letting you out. So I took that as we have the key to our healing and our health. And if we choose to use that key, God's going to take his hand and put it in that lock. I just can't believe how, like, he got up there and said, we're going deep, and if you're uncomfortable with that, that's good. And we came back that night, and we prayed for each other. We split into smaller groups. We split into our teams, and our teams were, on the Thursday, we had a games day, so that's why we were all in these teams. So we each had team leaders, and there was about 40, 45 guys. But we got into those things, and we wrote all of our stuff, and then we prayed for each other. Each person got prayed for by another man, and it was really neat. It was about 10:30 when we got out of there. We had to be back by 8:30 the next morning, and Jason, right at the end, he goes, I pray that our wives, when we get home, we are completely worn out, because this is not a restful vacation. This is a changing vacation. So I took that literally, and I was dogged. So the next morning, it's praise and worship, and then we went into Greg Hendricks. He played basketball, and he is a chaplain for the NFL. He comes from a one-night stand, is what his lineage is. Never met his father, didn't know who he was. No idea. To this day, he has no idea who his father was. God took a hold of his life, and I'm telling you, that guy can preach. Oh, he was incredible. It was so hard to catch everything, because I wanted to grab what was there. But he spoke about ministering to, like, because NFL players, he goes on cruises, he goes, travels with them. He goes, the Lord has just, you know, burdened me with what did he say? You know, I have to, this is my sacrifice for Jesus. I get to go on these cruises. I get everything paid for. It's hot. It's sunny. And I get to rub shoulders with some of the biggest athletes in history. He goes, it's just my cross I got to bear. But he talks so fast and he is so engaging that you're trying to write and all of a sudden he's almost done. But he talked about Abraham or Abram and Sarah, and he broke it down. He knew the Hebrew and all of the background to it. And Abram was Abraham, and Sarah was actually God breathing into them, was breathing into them to prosper. So when he changed their name, he breathed over them. And so it was so funny because I felt a breath of air right then, like, whew. I was like, oh, Jesus. And I'm just like shaking. And I'm sitting there in between a whole bunch of guys. We always sat in there. He said something else. He goes, you have to own it before you can disown it. The place where you are vulnerable, God can use it. No to sin and yes to the lens of love for the man in the mirror. So we have to love the person that we look at every day, which is ourselves. And he said something else that I was like, man, that is, it's so crazy. We think of when we're, you know, speaking in faith and we're doing all of this stuff that it's going to be easy. He goes, faith doesn't make things easy. It means that things are possible. So the things that we're doing are not necessarily easy, but they're possible when God adds his faith to it. And he was dynamic and everything, but he never raised his voice. And I couldn't figure it out. And he goes, when I'm speaking and when I'm doing the will of God, I don't need to scream. My words have authority all on their own. And I was just like, whew. So when we're crying out to God, we don't necessarily have to be angry, but there is times to be angry. I get that. But there's a silent authority also inside of us that, no, I'm not doing this. And that's it. And it's just that firm. That firmness. So Thursday afternoon, we went out to this sports field, and I don't know if anybody's been in California in the summertime, but it was hot. You would have loved it. Jane, you would have loved it. It was 98 degrees, so whatever that is in Celsius, 35-ish kind of thing, and we're out on the sports field, and there's 700 of us out there, and we've got all of these games. There was tug of war. There was the, I don't know if anybody's watched Top Gun, where they do the offense and defense football at the same time. They had this, I don't know what they called it, but you had these pool noodles and you tried to knock the crown off the other guy, but you can only use one hand, which was a lot of fun. We did this thing where you stood in a circle and you held onto ropes and you tried to pull the other guys, and it was two different teams, so you're in between each other. You either had to pull the rope out of the other guy's hand or pull him into the garbage cans in the middle. So it got pretty violent. It was really fun. Of course, you know, violence, mayhem, lots of fun. They also had a challenge where to see how many people you could get onto one standard pallet and stay there for 2.5 minutes. So the first time we did it, we got to go through all of these ones. But crazy thing, we had some pretty skinny guys, so thank God. Not all built like me. So we ended up getting 21 guys on a pallet. First off, we just piled on each other. And then we had people on the outside that kind of made a circle. But then one guy stepped off and then we got disqualified. But the second time, we had two tall guys right in the middle that put two people on their shoulders. And then we made it so that the guys were all holding on and they were all balancing on one foot. And we got 23 guys onto a 42-inch pallet, which is pretty incredible, for 2.5 minutes. So we actually won that one out of everybody. So that was pretty cool. We also had a kettlebell challenge, where you had as many people as you could hold on to a kettlebell, run down there, and then you had to do the swings. And they were 50-pound kettlebells. And we had people from 11 years old up to 85-ish years old. So it was pretty cool watching other people help out and stuff like that. The football got really violent really quick because Americans love their football. So it was supposed to be non-contact, but it sure wasn't. So I think it was a bonding thing that happened there. When men play together, it bonds them in a different way. And it was a lot of fun just to see the camaraderie and and then they had two challenges. The strongest guy on your thing could do arm wrestling, and then they also had sprinting. But we didn't know that one of the teams had an All-American on his team. And it was there was actually brothers. The one brother was my age, and the other one was 18. And I'm telling you, that boy could run. Like, he was just like lightning. And then it was ended up being a pretty juiced 40-year-old that won the arm wrestling. So it was pretty cool watching all of this. Like, it just... incredible the amount that they put into this and the thought. So that was actually about 5 miles from the campus. So we all met there, and it was a whole afternoon of a lot of fun. But Thursday evening, Chris Vallotton spoke, and I have really liked Chris Vallotton for a very long time. I've listened to so many of his podcasts and everything, and just the heart that he has, the humility that he has. He's not a manly man. His wife is the hunter. He goes, if someone breaks in, I wake her up so that she could go take care of it. He doesn't like guns. He doesn't like hunting. He doesn't like fishing. But what a heart. He writes books. Always wrote so many books, but he writes a lot of women's books, and they're actually pretty good. But just the fathering heart that he has, and then confirming what he did with Jason and how he walked them through the homosexuality and all that other stuff, and just the love in his voice. Like, I could just sit there and listen to him all day. Just the calmness and the peace that he brings into every situation was just incredible. But he said a couple things. One of the things that caught me is he said, you know, women, when they get their period, that's when they know that they're a woman, that they can bear children. That's a distinct marker in their lives, that they go from the little girls to the women. But men, we have nothing. We don't have something that goes bang, this day you're not a boy anymore, you're a man. The Jewish tradition of the bar mitzvah is one of the things that happens, but it was something that struck me that I haven't done. I never had that as a rite of passage. I don't know if anybody else in here has had that before, but it was something that just twigged on me, and it said, think about doing something for your boys. And it said, he said, something that says they're in a manhood, that they're men now, they're not boys. And he said to me, God spoke to me when they were talking about, I don't know what he's talking about, he said, we are a house of mighty men. And that was like what I said about my household, but here, we're a house of mighty men here. We may have not had the best fathers growing up, but we got a heavenly father that wants to speak into us. And if we allow him, we'll be the mighty men. And he said, it takes a man to make a man. So if we're not men, how do we expect our kids and our community to be men? And he goes, you don't become the man you want to become. You become the man that you picture you are in your head. So that hit me hard because I've always wanted to be a man and bring my boys up manly and girls to be girly. But what image did I have in my head of who I was? I'm just going to leave that with you. We need to get the victimhood out of the church. We were born for adversity. If I don't love me, how can I love my neighbor? God made a commandment that we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. That's a commandment, not a suggestion. But also the other commandment was, right in the beginning of Genesis, he said he made man in his image. That wasn't just him saying something. He was commanding us that we are all made in his image, men and women alike. Not one better, not one less. And he said something about, maybe it wasn't him, but I was listening to a bunch of things. I think it was actually Lisa Bevere that said, women are the weaker vessel, which just means they can't bench press as much as men. That's the only thing that's different about us. So we are one and the same. And one thing I highlighted here, another thing, you can't steal what God has given you. And God said, I am an amazing God, and I have made you in my image. That was something that just hit me. It was like, if I say that I'm not good, then I'm saying that God isn't good. And God could have made us to be obedient and loving him out of anything. But love can't be forced. Love is a free choice. So if we choose to love ourselves and when we choose to love other people, that's a choice that we're actually making. Forgiveness is mandatory. Love and forgiveness or love is something that is given. Forgiveness mandatory, love is given. So in that we were, on Thursday evening, it was a crazy thing because we have images and we have ourselves, we have an image of who we are and we have a name for ourselves. You know, mine was Reg and shameful and fearful. But God wanted to download on us new names. So when we got back after the evening, they said, okay, and there was a cross sitting in the middle, just a little wooden cross, and we all had our tape on our chest. And they go, okay, now it's time for God to give you a new name. This is what you've been carrying around, but I'm going to give you a new name. So we pulled the stuff off our chest, and we taped it to this cross. And then we got a new piece of tape. And they go, wait on the Lord and have him tell you what his name for you is now. What does he see you as? So lots of the guys, there was a couple older guys, and they said, you know, I'm brave and I'm courageous, which was pretty cool because they were pretty meek guys. And I'm just sitting there and I'm going, Lord, I am royalty, I'm your son. What is the name after I've given up my shame and my fear from my past and scared of who I should be in Christ? What is the new name? And I'm sitting there and I'm sitting there and I'm not getting nothing. And I'm sitting there and these other guys are sharing and I'm like, Lord, I really need this right now. And he goes, okay. And he gave me a picture of when people are going to be knighted. What do? They kneel. So I'm sitting there in my chair and I'm sitting like this, kind of my back to everybody. And he goes, I want you to kneel. So what did I do? I kneel, right? So I'm kneeling down and I bow my head down. And he goes, and I'm picturing all of these things. And he goes, I, Father God, call you Sir Reg Righteousness. As I'm on my knees in front of my dad. And he goes, put your head up. So I look up at him. And I can see him plain as day. I can't see his face, but I can see him. And I can see the expression of love that he had for me. And I never saw myself as righteous. I said, I have the robe of righteousness around me, but I'm not righteous. Look at all the stuff that I've done. And he goes, because I said, you are righteous. Your name is Sir Reg Righteousness now. You are righteous because I'm in you. So I'm trying to hold it together. And so when we got our names, we were supposed to stand up. And I stand up and I go, my name is Sir Reg Righteousness. And I sit down and that was it. And it was just peace had come over me. Because I had left all this shame, all of the stuff that I had on the cross, and I taped it to that and it stuck there. But the crazy thing is, that tape that they gave us would not stick to our clothes for the new name. Everybody is fighting to keep this new name on. So the next morning, Jason gets up and he's doing his introductions and he goes, you know what? We have to keep putting our new tape on. The tape keeps coming off, but you also have to make a conscious decision to take that new name every day and put it back on yourself, because everything, and he goes, we didn't try this on purpose. This was nothing that we did. This is just how it worked. Everybody could not keep their names on. It was uncanny. The other ones stuck like crazy. The shame and the fear stuck like you wouldn't believe. But the new names wouldn't stick. So there was a constant reminder. Guys are getting new tape, putting it back on. It was a really neat God thing. I just remembered that. Thank you, Jesus. So I don't have a lot of scripture in this because there was so much scripture that I would be here all afternoon. It was really neat to be able to pray for other men around me. There was one guy that came up and he goes, my wife and I are in such discord. We have a new baby. They were fostering. They were, you know, vintage dads. He was in his late 50s, and they were doing emergency fostering for young kids, him and his wife. And he goes, we are in complete discord all the time. And I don't even know what I said, and he just like crumpled and was crying from what I said. And I said, God loves you no matter what, whatever's going on in your life. It was just such an experience that I'm thankful that I got to do it by myself, because it gave me a chance to process. But this is my sales pitch for them. We should go again. They're having another one again next year. Check out their website. It's braveco.org. They've got a ton of different things. But the best speaker for me, and I mean, I have done Bait of Satan, Honors Reward, and a bunch of other stuff from John Bevere. But he was there, and it was, I don't know, I was just blown away. I couldn't write fast enough. And he hit on the fear of God and the awe of God in the morning. And it's so much, I can't even, and I actually bought his book, and I don't buy books. I stood in line for 45 minutes to get this book at lunchtime. So I like to eat, and all I could smell was pulled pork, and I'm standing in line for a book. So I got the book of it, and he has a workbook to do as a small group. So I bought both of them, and I purposely didn't read them yet because I wanted to sit in what the change that God has done in me so far. And actually, I think Suzanne and I are going to do it together. It was his intensity and his passion for what God has told him is contagious. You sit there and you just hear his words. You hear the heart behind it, and you feel everything that he is doing. He's an incredible speaker. He also has an app that you can get most of his stuff for free. So Messenger X is the app on the Apple Store or whatever Android is. Don't know what that is. But he has got tons of stuff on there. It's life-changing. He laid it out in such a way. His book is all about the awe of God and the fear of God. I can't do it justice, so I'm not even going to. But the fear of God and the awe of God, being afraid, it's not being afraid of God, it's actually being afraid of not having his presence with you the whole time. That's what King David said. I would rather be in your court for one day than 1,000 elsewhere, because that's the fear of God, is being afraid of not having his presence with you daily and every second of the day. But we need to come into his presence with reverence. We need to treat him with reverence, which is something I think our society has lost, is a reverence for what is good and pure. But that's a whole other thing. So the crazy thing is, he gave us a statistic from 2000 to the present day, and this is an American one, over 23 million of practicing Christians have become non-Christians in the last 23 years. 23 million. Yeah. It's staggering, and I think it's probably even higher than that. These are the people that said that. To tremble at his word is to obey God, and when we obey God, we do it immediately, We do it even if it doesn't make sense. We do it even if it hurts. And we do it even if we don't see a benefit. And we do it all the way. And I was like, thank you, God, that I came here because I did all of those things. And I have been good at a bunch of those things, but not all of these things, and that's what I'm going to strive to do. Yeah. Holy fear is a fountain, a continual flow of the instruction of God's wisdom. It turns us away from the traps of death, which is sin. Wow, I do have a ton of stuff in here. He said that a lot of Christians that he speaks with are victors with a victim mindset. Yeah. I don't know what to say about that, but I think we need to get the victim out of here. Because we are at a place of victory, because we've read the end of the book. We win. So there is no reason to say, woe is me. We have God inside of us, and we will never be the same again. So then we had a guy, he's part of the moral revolution with Bethel. His name is Cole Zick, I believe is how you say his name. He's a really cool guy. Yeah, very trendy. He had really great hair. He comes up there, I'm like, wow, that is a dude with really great hair. And his first story that he shared, he was going to church one evening, and he gets in his car, and he's got three little kids, and he backs up, and he feels his thumb, and backs over, and his wife comes out screaming. He had run over his 18-month-old son, and actually the son was underneath the wheel. And the interstate was plugged right up. They hopped in the vehicle, and they're calling the ambulance on the way. And they're fighting traffic. It's 45 minutes. They've got their son that he's ran over with his car in there with him. He's freaking right out. They meet the ambulance, and the cops are there blocking off the roads. They're blocking it off because it's rush hour. He was in San Diego. That's where he lived, San Diego. So I've never been down there, but apparently it's really busy. So they blocked off everything for this 18-month-old, and they are ripping. They get to the hospital, and from the time that they got to the hospital to the time they got released was 4.5 hours. They couldn't find a single thing wrong with their son. And he goes, in my head, I'm preparing that my son is going to be a paraplegic. My son is going to always be in our care. My son is going to do this. My son is going to do that. He never spoke any of this out, but this is what's going through his head the whole time. And they get there. They have two different specialists check him out. There is not a thing wrong with him. But wait. He didn't believe him. He didn't take that miracle right off the bat. He went to four different places to get him x-rayed. And finally, on the fifth one, God goes, you're calling me a liar. You're calling me a liar. I did a miracle here, and you're calling me a liar. As they're going in for the x-ray, and he picks his son up and goes, yep, we don't need this anymore, and walks out. But how many times do we not accept that miracle that God has given us? With our minds, we discount it. We say it didn't happen. How could it? And he goes, my life was awesome. He goes, this is the tragedy that everybody, every Christian says we have. We've got this tragedy, and oh, this is going to be a great thing. Well, what if there isn't tragedy? What if God is good all the time? And I mean, he went into way more detail. I'm giving you the Reader's Digest version. For young people, Reader's Digest was a book that everybody got in the mail. But that's what stuck with me, is how many times do we discount what God has done in our lives? Take that miracle and thank him for it. And I mean, now he does. But it's just, it was a story that everybody's praising God that he's healed. And he goes, but wait, look what I did in all of this. It was a humbling experience to see, you know, these powerful men. They miss the mark just as much as we do. So interesting thing. The Friday night, I'm getting ready to, I'm going, okay, God, I gotta leave here at 10:30 and I've got to be at home for Sunday morning. I've got 22 hours of driving ahead of me, and I'm starting out at night driving in the Northern California mountains, and they are, I mean, back and forth, and you go. I said, okay, Lord, I'm ready for what you have for me, and I want to be just in the moment. So Friday night was John Bevere speaking, and he talked about being a steward. He actually changed his message because of what the Lord told him. He said in one of his opening statements, I am created to do, and I have three options. The being a steward is using my gift to benefit myself. I can use my gifts and my stewardship to benefit others, or I can use my benefit or my stewardship and all of that to benefit the kingdom. What kind of steward do I want to be? That was right off the bat, and I'm like, oh boy. The grace of God is the empowerment that gives us the ability to go beyond our natural ability. And if we don't realize that grace empowers me, I'm working in my own power. That was just one of the things that he said. And I just wanted to sit there, and I didn't hardly take any notes on the last one because I just wanted to be in that presence of just being filled. But being faithful in what God has given us means to be steadfast, means to be dependable, means to be loyal, means to be trustworthy, means to be devoted, and it means to be truthful. But he goes, the one thing that we Christians do is we forget the last thing that being faithful means. It means multiplication. And he just let us sit there in that for a second. Multiplication, everybody gets the idea that like when Adam and Eve were go fruitful and multiply, everybody thinks of it as having a bunch of kids and multiplying your money wealth, your material wealth. We need to be fruitful with children. We need to be fruitful with money, because money is what helps ministries grow. And we're living in an economic world, so we don't need to be afraid of multiplication in our material. It's when money becomes our God that's when it turns everything bad. But we need to multiply everything that we do, because God isn't a God of percentages, he's a God of multiplication. So I've been in business for a long time, and in construction, if you did 10% on a job, that's a pretty darn good job. But when we sow our seeds in the ground as farmers, we're not looking for a 10% increase on the 2 bushels an acre that we put it in at. We're looking for multiplication. And that's what we need to be looking at and having the mindset that we're multiplying in the kingdom here. So with that was our first commandment in the Bible, was to be fruitful and multiply, which multiplying means to be faithful. Those who multiply are faithful, and those who maintain are wicked and lazy. And he did the story of the talents, right? Everybody's heard that. And he did it, actually, it was pretty funny. God is just bringing that back to me. So the one, he put names in there. And he said Matthew had 5 talents, and then he got 10. And then the next person had 2, and they went into 4. Or is it 3 and 6? 3. Three. Yeah. So at 3 and then multiplied to 6, and the last person just maintained. He was the wicked and lazy servant. So are we going to maintain in our lives? Are we going to be that wicked and lazy servant? Are we going to be the person that takes what God has given us and multiplies it for the furtherance of his kingdom? So that was that weekend. And then at the end of this, at the end of his message, we all broke out, and And through the whole thing with the different speakers, they're like, I don't need to pray for you. John Bevere doesn't need to pray for you for breakthrough. Each and every one of you has the exact same spirit. So we ended up, everybody kind of went to the front to get an anointing of being men. So we all walked up to the front and got anointed. And after that, he said, okay, each person here pair up with somebody. So I just turned over, and there was this little young gentleman. Well, he wasn't young, probably twice as old as I was. And he had such a meek smile on his face. And I don't even know what his name was. And he goes to me, he goes, I've never prayed with somebody. I have never listened and prayed for another person. And here's this guy's like 70, 75 years old, has never prayed with anybody before, didn't have the confidence to do that. So I take him by the shoulders and I go, okay, I'll start. I've done this before. And I don't know where it came from, but it just came up from underneath. And I said, you are a strong man of God. You have courage, you have strength, you have power. And the guy is just weeping. And I said, you are a lover of your wife, no matter what she says about you. And I don't know this guy, right? I don't know him from anything. And he is just bawling. And he's a tiny little guy. And he is, and I just am speaking life into him. And he goes, I've never had that before. How did you know that? I didn't know anything. I just let my mouth speak. And then he prayed over me. And it was such a calm, peaceful prayer. And then we gave each other, it was like your grandpa giving you a hug at the end. Just that. And he just melted, and it was so cool, and that's where I ended. I said goodbye to the few friends that I had made there, and I started driving. And what a powerful thing to be there and going, if that was the only thing I needed to say at the end, was to that grandpa. But just to see his face light up when he was hearing the words of his daddy speaking over him. That wasn't me at all. That was daddy speaking to his son and saying whom he loves the most. So with all of this being said, there's a 12-week course with BraveCo. Being a man is not a bad thing. Being masculine isn't bad. There's no such thing as toxic masculinity. To be a man is to be an image of God, and we need to be okay with that. So there's a 12-week course. It goes from everything from shame into sexuality, into being a dad, into being a husband. They covered everything. So I'm feeling led to lead it. I didn't clear anything with Colin yet, so. Jason said something crazy in it. He goes, if we don't put any skin in the game, we're not going to get anything out of it. That's why they charge for the BraveCo stuff, is because when we attach a value to it, that's when we put our full effort into it, especially as men. So it costs $150 US to do it for each person. It's a 12-week course. I haven't done it yet, and I'm going to go through it. There's a couple things, but I just want to put that on your heart if there's other people that are interested in doing it. And it's for men only, so sorry, ladies, you guys have to find your own thing. But this is something that we want, that I believe is something that's been lacking for a long time, not just in this church, but in any church, is men knowing who they are in Christ as men. And when we get healthy, everything else follows. We're the head. Our wives are the neck. They help turn us in the direction that we should go. But we need to step out in faith and really truly believe that we are made in God's image. We're not an accident. We're not some terrible thing that's a curse to this world. Whatever the world says about us, that is not true. You are holy, righteous, and yes, you have some things that are wrong with you, but that's okay. God can deal with you in that. God can work on that, and he can turn whatever God, what the enemy is, used for evil in your life into something good. So, I encourage you guys to pray about it, and we'll be in touch, and it was a great experience. Thank you for everybody that was praying for me. I had safe travels. My car got 60 miles to the gallon, so yeah, my little Jetta was awesome. It was a lot of fun.
Let's give the Lord a hand for that. Powerful. Took a page of notes, and I'm sure there's a lot more than that. I want you to do one thing this morning, because down there you experienced the Lord speaking over you as a man, and used you to speak into, I don't think just that one man at the end. I know God used you with some other men. But I would just like you to release over us as men in this place today just a little bit of what you received and what was released there, and just allow the Holy Spirit to do what he wants to do. Birth something, awaken something, heal something, change the tape on our chest something. I believe you went, and you are bringing it back for a reason. So men, all of you men, I want to invite you to stand, and I'm just going to ask you to just hear what the Lord is saying and then just release that.
Okay, for men, this was really weird when we did it down there. We actually all held hands. It's not something that we as men like to do, so I encourage you to get team up with another man, because where two or three are gathered, he is there with us. So just move in the aisles, grab each other's hands, and what was an interesting thing is everybody thinks that if a guy is holding a hand or a guy is giving each other a hug, they're gay. That is such a lie from the pit of hell. There's absolutely nothing sexual about this. This is men linking arms going, we are the army of Christ. We are standing shoulder to shoulder, and we are not going to be taken down. I don't know if anybody ever played Red Rover, Red Rover. But what did you do? You grabbed on to the next person and you held on for dear life. Hold on to the man next to you, because your life depends on it. Women, you are a part of our lives, but there's something uniquely special about when men get together as men that we cannot get from you, and we are not going to get from you, because you are not designed that way. You are our helpmates. You make us better men. But this is a man thing right now. Hold the man's hand next to you. Father, I just want to say thank you. I want to thank you for every man that is present here, from the ones that are 5 years old, 1 year old, all the way up. We are men of Christ. We have the Lion of Judah inside of us. We are not meek men. We are not weak men. We are men that are going to know our purpose as men and who we are created to be in Christ Jesus, because you are inside of us. We are not a mistake. We are not garbage. We are not toxic. We are men created in our Heavenly Father's image. Regardless of whatever was spoken over you, I call that null and void in Jesus' name. Every curse that was spoke over every man, over every husband, over every son, that is a lie from the pit of hell, and you will go down to the pit where you belong, under our feet, in Jesus' name. When the men of God rise up, Satan is afraid. All power of hell has lost. Linking hands with the man next to you, God is right there with you, holding your hands together, tying that bond together. You are holy men of Christ, made in his image for his purpose. You are not a mistake. You were put here for his specific reason, and you each will know that in Jesus' name. You are loved, you are adored, and you are special. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name.
Men, if you can be seated for a moment. And I just want to, first want to bless you for your obedience in hearing the Lord. And going down alone. And allowing God to change the name on your chest.
It's your red righteousness.
Long time coming.
Yeah.
Long time.
Long time.
I asked Suzanne how she was doing. Suzanne got the word when you did, when she heard about that, that, you know what, Reg needs to go. And she shared with you and said, you know what, I believe I'm supposed to go too. There was unity there.
Yeah.
And Suzanne said, I'm believing for a new man to come home. And she was very excited. Very nervous. Yeah, very nervous. But so were you.
Oh. Yeah.
But I want to say bless you for your obedience. Your obedience was costly in so many ways. But as you talked, that cost pales compared to what God poured out. Kingdom, kingdom, kingdom. You made a statement that was made, and it was powerful. It gripped me. And whoever said it, I forget who it was, but you said you got to be a man to make a man. Chris Valentin. There's a lot of not men who are trying to make men. They're not men, and so they're making not men. They're boys raising boys who are raising boys who are raising boys. The manhood got lost somewhere. But that Malachi calling it back. I want to pray over you. Men especially. Men, would you just extend your hands in Reg's direction? I want the men to extend your hands. Father, I first want to thank you that you have been Reg's father for a long time. Even though our earthly dads are alive, when you say you're a father to the fatherless, that means you become a dad that our even living dads weren't. I thank you for your love for Rich. I thank you that it was you who walked with him in this journey, like Chris talked about with Jason in the midst of his stuff. You walked with Rich. You were faithful to carry him. You allowed him to be the father of five beautiful children and the husband of a beautiful wife. And in the midst of all that went on, God, you were faithful. You were faithful. You never left him alone. And I want to thank you that at such a time as this, in this season, when you spoke, he heard you. I'm reminded when you spoke to Abraham, Abraham left everything and went to a city, not knowing where he was going, but knowing that you were building something and he was willing to be a part of it. God, Reg left, was obedient. You were faithful to take him there. You were faithful to bring him back. But you were faithful to meet him there through the voice of those at the front, through the voice of those sitting beside him, through your rhema voice on his knees. You spoke, Daddy, and your son heard you. And I thank you that you have brought him back with a fire. You have brought him back with a new name. New names change us forever. I thank you that you have sealed what you have done. But Father, you didn't close the book. I believe, Father, you have allowed him to bring back a fire that is going to begin to spread. It's going to spread in his marriage. It's going to spread to his sons. It's going to spread to his daughters. It's going to spread to the people in his circle. It's going to spread in this place. And I just give you praise for that. And as faithful as you have been to speak and give him the desire to be obedient, it will be that way today and tomorrow and the next day. Thank you for what he has imparted here. Thank you that you have spoken to him and through him. And we just give you freedom as men, Lord. We give you the freedom to do in us what you want to in these days. Because you're looking for healthy sons. And so I speak blessing over the Chetney home, blessing over this marriage, blessing over this season of being a father to two daughters who are moving on their own, 3 kids who are staying home. Let them experience the fruit of you through this Son of yours. And by faith, we give you the glory. You the glory. Because without you, none of this would be. Sir Reg, righteousness. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand for speaking through him today. Hallelujah. Wasn't that a blessing? Would you stand and receive the blessing from our Father to us as his kids? The Lord bless you today and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you today and fill you with his peace and his name for you. I declare that in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit. And everybody receiving said, I just need to do one thing before we end. If you would have your eyes closed, I would like every eye closed. I just believe I need to speak over the men in some of your people's lives, some of your husbands, some of your sons today, who are not where God wants them to be, where they need to be, where you want them to be. They are wayward right now. But today you're believing for God to get hold of those men, those dads, those sons. You're believing for a work. If they're in your life, I just want you to raise your hand. Every eye is closed, just raise your hand if there are those men represented today. Father, right now, you see through the hands that are raised, the lives, the men who are not living and experiencing what you have for them. The enemy right now has taken them to places where they are being stolen from, but Father, your heart is to bring them back. The Malachi word is that they would come back in their marriages, come back in their families, come back in relationship with you. And so today we release a grace in Jesus' name over every man represented by these hands. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, to move powerfully. We ask you to break down the walls. We ask that you would bring people into their lives. We ask that you would change the wind that is blowing across them. There would be a stirring, a emptiness inside of them that can only be filled by you. And we declare that these men come to know you as their Father and are changed in that relationship in Jesus' name. And so by faith, we surrender these men to you right now. And we release the anointing of the kingdom over them. For the glory of your name, Father, we say thank you. Every husband, every son touched in Jesus' name. And everybody believing for them said, amen. Thank you, Reg, again. Appreciate that, powerful. God bless you, church. Have an awesome week.